You'll be coming to Western on Wednesday, March 6th. What will you be doing here?
Well, I'll be giving a reading from a book of poems I had published last summer. And the reading is at 7 o'clock in the auditorium on the third floor of Sherman Hall. And then following the reading, I will be signing books and talking with people, and then going to a reception, I believe, at Shiloh. So those things are what I'm doing.
Yeah, this is a book that was published by the National Poetry Review Press after you were honored with the National Poetry Review Book Prize. Is that
Yes,
correct?
that's correct. It won the National Poetry Review Book Prize in two for 2011, and was published last summer in 2012. So it's been out a little over 6 months.
I take it this is quite the honor to be recognized by that organization.
Well, it is an honor. These book contests are very difficult because there are so many entries, and you typically get upwards of 1,000 manuscripts entering a contest like that, and there is a lot of good work being written and produced out there. So it is an honor, and I feel lucky to have won that.
And of course, for the judges, it's all subjective too. So you must have really struck a chord with the people who reviewed the book.
Well, I think I did. I was lucky in finding C.J. Sage, who is the editor of the press, who did like my work, and there were several finalists, so I felt good that mine finally emerged. And it is subjective, and so you have to find a reader who likes your work and appreciates it and has some sense of what you're trying to do. So she was a good editor for me in that sense.
And what can you tell us about the book?
Well, the book has about 80 pages or so and consists of very short poems, none longer than 15 or 16 lines. And I began working on these poems about 10 years ago, actually. It took quite a long time. And publishing them in literary magazines over the years, and I found that they were picked up by some good magazines, and I had a good feeling about them. And the poems arose for me after 9/11, and in those tough years of early years of Bush too, when we were involved in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. It was a very difficult period. And in fact, the university lost students early on in that war, and so we were all very upset about that. And for me, the poems were a way of trying to come to grips with that and trying to understand a very difficult period and finding a way through those times.
You said these poems cover about 10 years worth of time, or were
Yes.
written over a 10-year period. Do you ever go back and look at a poem that you wrote several years ago and perhaps make some changes to it?
I do. Yes, I do. Although these poems arose differently from my previous work. My previous work, I basically wrote nature poems, and they were fine. I mean, I liked them, but looking back on that pre-9/11 work, it strikes me as fairly conventional. And these new poems had a greater intensity for me and were more firmly engaged with the life of history and the political process and so on, and the things we were going through. And also they happened very quickly for me. They were revised, of course, but I wrote a lot of them, especially in the first 5 or 6 years of that period. And so the job for me was to sift and to find the ones that held up well on the page and for me. And so looking back on them, I did revise, found a coherent whole book. That's always the problem, selecting poems that sort of fit together in a coherent piece. And so I finally put together a revised manuscript about 2008 or 2009 that seemed to work for me. And that is the manuscript that finally was published in this book.
Did you surprise yourself to find yourself suddenly writing about such a different subject matter, and that the poems seem to be coming out of you so quickly?
I was surprised, Rich. It was a very different experience. I was teaching at the university at the time, but writing constantly, and often late at night, and they were unusual poems for me in that they often started with a title and something I had never done before, and my process changed, and the voice that emerged was, under the pressure of these more public events, was very different. And for a poet, the challenge is to find your voice. And I felt with these new poems that I really had found an authentic voice.
What about your earlier work? Did it in some way help you or inform what you eventually started writing once you found your voice?
Well, sure. I mean, I think all writers will tell you that they have a long apprenticeship, and that was certainly true for me, especially in view of the fact that I started writing rather late. Most poets start writing as teenagers, but I started writing seriously in my mid-40s. And luckily, I was also asked by my department to teach in our creative writing program. We had a have a minor program, and working with students was really encouraging to me in my own work. And so I think during that apprenticeship period, I was writing more, and I was really preparing for the moment after 2001 when I really started doing what I now think of as my real work. And the new poems certainly have an involvement in nature and an engagement with the world. I think most poets will tell you that it's all about loving the world, being engaged in it, finding a sense of what reality is. So, yeah, I think the earlier work certainly in some ways led to the later work.
What inspired you in your mid-40s to start writing poetry?
Well, I think I probably always wanted to, but I think various things happen to you when you're in the middle years. Personal crises, new challenges, and so on drive you in different directions. Also, I taught American literature, and I'd been deeply involved in the work of other writers, especially American poets like Emily Dickinson and Walt Whitman. And it was tremendously inspiring to read these great writers. And I think if you're aspiring to be a writer yourselves, you want to produce work that certainly not as good as these great writers, but in some way approaches that power and intensity. And so I think certainly you know, certainly your experience in life leads to your writing, but I think equally important is the reading that you do in the great writers of the past. And you're finally working in an artistic guild that's really old. It's probably 1,000 years old for us. And you become a part of that, and the great work that you encounter really, really inspires you.
Do you have a feel for why you were inspired to write poetry rather than short stories or novels or television
sure.
scripts or whatever?
TV scripts, yeah. It's a mysterious thing, isn't it? I did a lot of prose writing in my earlier life, never fiction, but a lot of essays, a lot of scholarly works on writers in American literature, things that you do as a college professor. But what drives you in the direction of poetry rather than prose fiction or movie scripts or screenplays is rather mysterious. Maybe it's rooted in childhood. Maybe it's rooted in the nursery rhymes we heard in the cradle. That kind of music, I'm not sure. I think most writers just do what they do out of some inner necessity or joy that they don't really understand very well.
Do you write every day?
I do write every day. My process has remained the same for the last 10 or 15 years. I do write some prose in the morning. I write 3 or 4 pages in a notebook, and I call these my morning pages. And then sometime later in the day, I try to write poems, and I write in a large artist sketchbook, and they're pretty messy, as you might imagine, but eventually I type some of them up and see what I've got. Sometimes I'm not writing. All writers experience dry periods. For me, it's not so much a matter of writer's block as just I'm not writing, and then sometimes I am writing, and when I write, I write every day, and I feel better when I write every day. sometimes you don't write.
And is it something you can sit down and say, I'm going to do this at a certain time, or do you just all of a sudden get this feeling like I have to put some words on paper?
It is more of the latter for me. I can really write any time. As I mentioned, I wrote a lot of these poems in the book late at night. Now I'm, thank goodness, keeping more regular hours and maybe drinking a little bit less coffee. So I write during the day. But if I have an hour or two and can sit down at my desk or somewhere in solitude, I can usually write something. And once in a while, it's something that might be worth preserving.
And what is it that you're writing about today?
I'm not exactly sure. Although I've noticed that the poems in the last couple of months have been a lot of them about mortality, about our brilliant but necessarily limited lives that are limited in duration and eventually come to an end. Maybe because of my age. It's hard to know where the material comes from, but mortality seems to be rearing its head lately.
So somewhere in the back of your mind, I mean, you must be thinking about that.
Yes, I think I am. I think baby boomers like me are thinking more about that now as we get older. Probably is in the back of my mind. Maybe writing a poem, you know, the dream of every poet is that you might write something that will outlive you and be read after you're gone and achieve some sort of immortality in words. And maybe that's what I'm thinking about lately.
All right. Maybe you have achieved that already with Abel Baker Charlie.
Well, that's kind of you to say. It's hard to know, but that's the dream anyway.
All right, John. I think that should do it unless you want to add anything.
No, I don't, except to say that I'm really looking forward to returning to Macomb and the university next Wednesday, March 6th, and reconnecting with some of my friends and maybe some of my former students. It's quite a thrill. And I really appreciate the chance to talk about this work with you.